Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number five of the G-Bag Nation, the party hour. It is the final hour before we hand things over to the Fan After Dark. That will be Fred Davis and Blake Elliott again tonight. Gavin Dawson off coaching his soccer team. Wish him the best of luck. Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, and of course you are Turn It On and Leave It On listeners. We get into TD Tuesday on the other side. Boom, shakalak. But right now we turn our attention to one of our favorites, one of the best in the business, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Jory Epstein. Jory, how the heck you doing?
I am doing well. Brian, Eric, Zach, how are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. I mean, I shouldn't say that, actually. The Cowboys do have me in a bad way, Jory. I can't lie about that. The season, as you know, is not going our way. But you certainly did make some headlines with the Micah quote that I did kind of think was taken out of context a little bit. How's your world been with the Micah stuff that's been blowing up?
Yeah, it's funny. Basically, what happens is I go into the locker room after the game. We just talked to Jerry Jones. It's clear that he doesn't seem to want to fire Mike McCarthy during the season, but the coach is on the final year of his contract. So he has to convince the Cowboys and the Joneses particularly to renew him. And at 3-6 with a whole lot going on, it didn't seem likely. So I figured I wanted some player perspective in my story and asked a few different players. Essentially, there's a lot of noise outside of the building about Mike McCarthy's job status on his last year. What is the sentiment of the locker room, and what would you tell people wondering? And, for example, when I asked Jordan Lewis this question, he said that as long as Mike McCarthy's at the helm, they need to keep fighting for him. It's their job to fight during the week and translate that to wins. And then you have Micah Parsons, who takes this, and the beginning of the quote was definitely taken out of context about Mike being able to leave and go whenever. He was simply making a comparison there about coaches being able to coach longer than players can play because of the physical tolls of the game on their body. But at the end of the quote, he did say that Zach Martin has essentially worked harder and done more than Mike McCarthy has ever done. And while he maybe, if we're really generously reading this, meant for the Cowboys, given that Zach was there, I mean, McCarthy's been in the league 20 years longer than Zach has, so it was definitely a little surprising. And another reporter afterwards was like, did he say that about Mike's work ethic? So I don't think it was his intent, but at some point, if you're a star player several years into your career with your own podcast, I think it's fair to take you at your word.
How much have you heard that maybe from other players around the league or even with the Cowboys about maybe Mike's work ethic? Do you think that there is maybe some substance of truth to that?
I don't know. I don't think that common reflects that. If so, I can't say I've asked so many other players from other teams about McCarthy's work ethic just because they're not playing for him right now. But I think to me, Micah was making a comment about the relative toll physically that it takes on players versus coaches. And you can also say that if Mike McCarthy hangs it up tomorrow, he'll hang it up having won a Lombardi trophy. Zach Martin, despite his 9 Pro Bowls and 7 All-Pros, has not hoisted that trophy, which is what Micah wanted to give him for him. But it's still unusual. And I think to me, whether or not the exact wording is what they would have thought about if they had an hour, it's always telling how a guy answers this question. Because, for example, when Dak was asked, I believe it was after the Green Bay loss last year, but definitely after one of the playoff losses, about Mike's job status, Dak said, well, if his job's in question, mine should be too. Look what I did out there. Look what I did on the field. We love that guy and we play for him. Compared to when I asked Jalen Hurts about Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni, or I don't know if I asked him, I was there when it was asked last year, and he said, oh, is that a question? Like, is that even a question if Nick comes back? But he would not say then or in the days following, I want Nick Sirianni back. And we've seen the articles that have come out since about some of the strife between them, whether or not that led to something. So I do think when a player is not willing to say, like, we want our head coach, we fight for him, that's on us, it's telling, regardless of the exact meaning of what they're saying instead of it.
Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports with us here on The Fan. With the way that Dak played before the injury and now with the injury and then the contract that he has, do you think that incoming prospective head coaches will view him as an asset, and that'll be one of the reasons why a coach will want the job?
Yeah, I mean, I think that most coaches will probably still view him as like a top 10 to 15 quarterback. Certainly his numbers this year are not higher than that. But I think also when you look at the body of work of what he's done over his career, let's remember that last year he was the runner-up for MVP. Some of those numbers were a little bit padded by what he did against teams that were worse than the Cowboys. But also if we talk about that year last year, well, they're not winning those games this year, so we probably do need to give them some credit for the 3-12 win seasons. I think that this was a season when so much was broken that Dak definitely didn't have it figured out, but everything around him didn't either, whether that was the protection, the lack of a run game, some of what Dak's able to do is play action based off the run game. It was interesting, though. I asked Jerry Jones after the game this week what he learned about Dak's role in this offense and on this team watching the game without him, which I wasn't trying to act like Dak's having the best season, but we just watched a guy complete or throw 23 pass attempts and have 45 yards off it in Cooper Rush. And I like Cooper. That's not a knock on him. It's just a reflection of how wrong the season has gone. Dak was not at 45 yards on 23 attempts. And Jerry said, well, what arithmetic are you working off? Because we weren't playing well with Dak either. So I definitely think there's angst around everything right now, and Dak's contract will highlight that. But I think that Dak has shown over a long body of work that, especially with the coaching staff and a system that's able to get the guys moving and like keep up with league trends, he'll be able to play at a high level.
Jory, when you look at this Cowboys season, and you do a heck of a job of, you know, covering all the teams, but you know, I know your expertise here as well. What went wrong? If there was something that you could say, hey, Brian, this, in my opinion, was the thing that kind of turned this thing to go the wrong way.
Yeah, it's a great question because, I mean, you could I do think from an offensive standpoint, not having a run game is a recipe for failure. When we look at what Saquon Barkley is doing this year, and there are plenty of other running backs like him, and Saquon was here this week, running backs should not be as devalued as they are. But it's not that, because there's the running back, there's the offensive line, there's the penalties, there's the turnovers, there's the defense not figuring it out. And I also think it oversimplifies matters to say if CeeDee had his contract a month earlier, then Dak and CeeDee would have been on the same page. If Mike wasn't on the final year of his deal, he wouldn't have been too afraid of it. But I do think that there just seems to be something. And John Machotar, who I know y'all know well, and I do as well, made a great point a couple days ago of, like, someone needs to figure out, like, that Green Bay loss in the playoffs. Like, it feels like this team has not recovered from that. And that's really where this traces back to. I don't think that the problem is specific to the 2024 NFL season. I really think this dates back to last year's playoff loss. And there are times, and again, this is why we'll see whether Mike's contract gets renewed, but there are times when you just need a fresh voice, a fresh scheme, and a fresh playbook.
Jory, I think you've always been one of the best sources when it comes to Dak, and Jerry told us today that he is having the surgery tomorrow in New York. He will miss the remainder of the season. Do you have anything else to add to maybe what went into that decision for Dak? It seemed like he really did not want to have the surgery, and moving forward, does he get a say if there is a coaching change? Like, do you think Dak should be in consideration for maybe where that goes?
Yeah, I think in regards to surgery, I mean, kudos to you guys at 105.3 The Fan for having that news first. Like, it's one of the rare times that you guys on your radio show had Jerry break, and I think it was Bobby who asked the question, so shout out to Bobby as well, as opposed to the insiders getting it first. But I think, yeah, he'll have the surgery tomorrow, Wednesday, in New York. And I think it's the right decision because the minimum recovery time, it's not with 6 to 8 weeks. This season is functionally over in terms of playoff performance likelihood. They have a 1% chance of making the playoffs, according to the Athletic's playoff predictor. And so your goal with Dak and really a lot of this team right now should be, what can we do to be competitive in 2025? What should we do to get close to, if not win a Super Bowl and make it to the NFC Championship next year, at least get close to those 12 win seasons so that you can set yourself back up for the success in the postseason? And that's making sure that Dak doesn't have the chance in 6 to 8 weeks of having...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To go through this process again and have surgery afterward because it didn't heal appropriately and properly. And Dak has shown that when he goes through the surgeries in the right way, I mean, he had 2 surgeries after his 2020 injury, that he's able to come back at a high level. So doing that now, long before the season and even off-season activities, seems like the smartest decision. In terms of a head coach for next year, I give, as much as we say, like, why is Jerry making all of these decisions and why is he the owner and the GM and there's not a whole lot of checks and balances when it comes to the final decision, Jerry does like to get a lot of input from a lot of different people, and Broaddus can speak even more to this than I can because he worked with him for all these decisions. So I would be very surprised if Dak was not one of the voices who Jerry talked to, who Jerry had meet with on interviews, especially I assume he'll be in the Dallas area. That's where he lives in the offseason. But I don't think that he's the final say. What's interesting about this is here's Chicago, if they don't retain Eberflus and they fired their offensive coordinator today, you really want the Ben Johnson type, the Lions offensive coordinator, who can make sure that you develop the young quarterback, develop the guy, and come up with that system. I think the Cowboys have a little bit of a luxury that I don't know that they need an offensive coordinator who could develop a quarterback. They need someone who can put in a scheme, who can get the shifts and motions, who can have all of those like bells and whistles. But Dak is largely developed. It's an infinite process, but he's not a rookie coming in. So I think to me, when I look at it, I say, okay, a Mike Vrabel type who, when you look at what the Lions are doing, and I think Jerry is very aware of what the Lions are doing, a former player, that tough physical mentality, put the guys around him, a different play caller and defensive play caller than the head coach. I think that that Dan Campbell model should be very appealing to the Cowboys, and also having a former player can counteract some of the distractions that the Cowboys can bring.
Jory, this is going to seem literally off the wall when you're talking about coaches, but could a guy like, you know, Deion Sanders makes, you know, sense probably to Jerry, but could a guy like Jason Witten make sense to Jerry if he's looking for a coach?
Yeah, I love that you ask make sense to Jerry, because what makes sense to Jerry is often not the same thing that makes sense to everyone else.
Sure.
I think that, I mean, look, obviously you guys have spent time with Witt. I've spent time with Mick, with Witt. Great guy, and I think he can set the culture. I think what's interesting is while he might be able to manage people, and if you get a head coach who's not calling plays, which I definitely don't think he should come in with no NFL coaching experience and call plays and manage the team. I think that's not a recipe for success. I think what I struggle with is I kind of think there needs to be someone who stands up to Jerry. And I don't mean that as Jerry's a bully. Like, Jerry's great for us to work with. He's great for y'all to work with generally. But I think that someone needs to be a non-Cowboys voice to be like, no, these things. And I don't think it's the tours, but some of the extra stuff that goes on off the field at the Star, you need someone to be like, that's not what it was like in my other place. And hey, Micah, if you want to talk about your show, you have to be aware of the consequences and all of these different things. Like, I think they need a non-Cowboys voice. And given how loyal Jerry has been to his former players, I find it difficult to believe that they would be able to not be that loyal to him. And I don't think that loyalty in that regard is what you should be looking for. I think you need someone who can balance it out.
What have you made on the way, just how they've handled this entire Zeke situation from signing him to in the offseason to everything that's transpired now? He's benched. He's not flying with the team. He's fumbling into the end zone, and then he's getting right back onto the field.
Jamie, you guys weren't just sold end of story when Jerry told you guys this morning that he's not living in the past with Zeke.
Yeah. We took his word for it.
Yeah.
Look, I think that our world would be a happier, rosier place if we all had the optimistic glasses that Jerry lives his life with. I also think that Jerry likes to look at the best in people and assume that that is the average. It's funny, I actually started working on the story on Zeke fumbling back in 2021, I believe it was. It was 2020, actually. Zeke had a series of fumbles right around when Dak got hurt. And I talked to a sports psychologist, a guy named Trevor Moad, who has since passed with cancer, but he worked very closely with Cowboys mental conditioning coach Chad Bowling. And I couldn't talk to Chad for the story because he works for the team. So he connected me with Trevor. And one of the things Trevor talked about is how the past is real but not predictive. And the idea is everything you've done before is true, but it doesn't mean that because you did something before, you're going to do it again. So for Zeke, from a fumbling standpoint, he's not more likely to fumble next week because he fumbled last week. I haven't looked this up. I think someone said it was his first fumble in the red zone, I believe.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't think that we have to worry about Zeke fumbling all the time. I think we have to worry about all of the things going wrong with the team. But I also think that that same principle of the past not being predictive, Jerry should probably take into account, because Zeke scoring 11 times at the goal line or whatever, I mean, he had 11 or 12 touchdowns 2 years ago when he was last with Dallas. That's also not where the team is at. That's right. Not the offensive line they have. I mean, I wonder how different this team would look if Tyler Biadasz was still here. I mean, there are different guys, and Cooper Beaty might be great in 2 to 3 years, but it's hard coming in as a rookie center, and it's hard when you don't have a bunch of guys around you. So I think that this team definitely has a problem with expecting that the best possible outcome will often happen and preparing accordingly.
Jory Epstein with us here on 105.3 The Fan. I did play one of your cuts from your Yahoo podcast breaking down the Cowboys Mingo trade. I thought your assessment of it was brilliant. You can, if you'd like to kind of rehash some of that for those that didn't hear it. But I wonder, as we talk about Zeke, your perspective and thoughts of how the Cowboys do go about the team building aspect of things and what goes into their decision making with trades like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if I can remember it. Essentially, I was talking about how there are four reasons you would make a trade at this point. The first being if you are trying to make a push for the playoffs in 2024. And Jonathan Mingo is not going to help the Cowboys make a push for the playoffs in 2024, because like I said, there's like a 1% chance, depending which model you go on, whether they're going to make it or not. The second reason you make a trade right now is because you believe that this guy can be a core player in 2025 and beyond. And while Jonathan Mingo probably can do more than what he did with Carolina, because we've seen guys like Christian McCaffrey is a great example of that, and there are many others who have played way better after their Carolina days than in their Carolina days, I have trouble believing that it is worth giving up a third-round pick to get a guy when you don't know who your coach is going to be and you don't know who your scheme is going to be. So you're saying, well, this is what we liked. We liked him in the draft. I also think there's this element of you liked him in the draft, but you have more data now. So if you're only going off the college data, to me, that's a problem. And then you have the fourth element, which is, okay, are you just doing this to excite the fans that you have a new weapon? And that to me seems like a bad reason to make a trade. I will say, since I wrote that story, I heard from an executive with the team who made the point that if you feel like you've seen enough from Mingo, you do know more about him than you know about a draft pick. And so while the third might be more valuable in terms of you can let the coach fix it, the Cowboys have been built by Will McClay for so long and kind of the best player available team. We saw they got CD that way. And so this executive from a different NFC team was telling me that he thought it wasn't that crazy because the personnel office isn't going to change so much, even if the coaching staff does. I'd actually be curious, Broadus, what you think about that.
No, absolutely. I think you're 100% right. You know, it's a lot different when you're, you know, the one thing that they always look at in personnel is continuity, you know, and that's something I think that Jerry and Steven, they, you know, with Will, they try that. The scouts stay the same, you know, they're going to have to now, if they do change coaches here, there will be a philosophy switch. And depending on what kind of coach comes in, it could be a guy like Bill Belichick, say, that is very, very heavy in personnel and wants to do that. That could be a big change for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also just struggle, again, you guys have probably watched more of Mingo's film than I have, but if this is a guy whose versatility is one of the things that we're believing him in, oh, he can operate out of the slot, well, you've got Speedy in the slot. Right. So I don't know that that was the piece that you needed to fill, but hey, depth is depth.
Jory, you're the best. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us, and we look forward to hearing your work throughout the season and talking with you again very soon.
Great to talk to you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
There she goes, Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter with Yahoo Sports. It is a TD Tuesday. We've got some of the best calls from college and pro football. That's next on The Fan.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.